Let us turn in God's Word to the Gospel of Mark today. We again continue our series in Remarkable Conversions, Mark chapter 5. This is one of my favorite stories in God's Word, what Christ wrought in the life of this man that was demon-possessed. And they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, or this was the cemetery, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there were there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Amen. A wonderful story, isn't it, of what Christ can do? The Lord and his disciples, after he had rebuked the wind and stilled the sea previous to this, finally was over on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And the Bible says here another test comes upon the disciples and upon Jesus himself, but he was ready for these tests. These tests were to ready the disciples and to ready us when we go through these. They had just escaped one frantic situation, and here was another. As they landed on shore, they probably figured for a little peace and quiet, and here comes a man possessed with the demons running down the hill, as it were, running from the cemetery, and he was furious, and he was a madman filled with demons, and you can just see the disciples wanting to get back in the ship and into the water, the very water that had just been stirred up in a storm. As they hid behind Jesus, Christ stood there calm and resolute. And the man falls down before the Lord Jesus. He's filled with demons, but you see here that Christ is Lord of demons as well. He's Lord over the demons. Demons submit themselves to him. You see, demons are merely fallen angels. Angels were all created by the Lord. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is God. So God is the one who created angels, and the ones that fell and rebelled against him are now called devils or demons. And they fill men. They seek to keep men in deception and in the state of ruin. But Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. He came to free us from the power of Satan. And here we find that the man falls down before the Lord, and Christ casts out these demons into swine. They didn't want to just be cast into hell. They were afraid. They knew Christ had power over them. In another passage, they cry, "Do not judge us before the time." They know that judgment day is coming, and they shall be cast into the lake of fire. And yet they seek to deceive others that there is no such judgment. They're liars and deceivers. But here Christ, for some reason, allows them to be cast into swine rather than into hell. And we find that the pigs run down the steep slope and into the sea and are choked. Why did Christ do this? Some say, why did he ruin the property of others? These were probably men that were selling to Jews that ought not to have eaten swine in that day. Or perhaps they were Jews who were raising swine to sell to Gentiles, which they ought not to have done either. So Christ was making a point here that you cannot neglect and reject and disobey God's law without consequence. And the Savior sent these demons into the swine to prove a point that God will indeed ultimately judge, but he also judges in temporal ways the sins of men. And that's God's mercy, by the way, friend. When he brings calamity or adversity to our lives, like what happened in New York City and Washington and rural Pennsylvania, when he brings adversity into our lives, this evil or calamity is meant to get our attention that we need to prepare to meet God. We need to prepare for the ultimate calamity. It's not calamity for the believer, but judgment day is not something that the unbeliever wants to stand before, wants to appear in. God says we need to prepare to meet him. Amos said, "Prepare to meet thy God." And so the Lord brought this judgment upon the owners, but he delivered this man from the power of Satan. What a wonderful statement we find in verse 15 of Christ's power over Satan and over the soul that's possessed with evil. The Bible says that after Christ got a hold of this man, that he was sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and the people were afraid. It terrorizes you when you see a man or a woman that you know was or were filled with evil, filled with self. Now they're changed. They're different. Here are three expressions of the result of the gospel that Christ preaches to the soul, sitting and clothed and in his right mind. We couldn't sit before. We were on edge. We were nervous. This world had a hold of us. But when Jesus comes, he settles us into a state of salvation and eternal life. We can sit still now. We don't have to be full of anxiety. Friend, Christ can take away your worry, your fear of today and tomorrow and eternity. He gives the hope of sins forgiven now and forever. He gives you confidence to face trials and tests and tragedies, to know that all things work together for good to them that love him, to them who are the called according to his purpose. My life was one of restlessness, but when Jesus saved me, when Jesus found me, he caused me to sit still and to trust in him, rest in him, lean heavily upon him. This was his work. The man was not only sitting but clothed. No one could keep clothes on him. The man was a madman. But here's a picture of us being unclothed of our own righteousness, but clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That is, we have a salvation that is not of ourselves. We have a standing before God that is from the substitute, Jesus Christ. Christ took our debt and gave us his credit. What a salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can be clothed with his righteousness and not found naked in that day. You can have the robe of the righteousness of Jesus Christ that he places upon you. He took the robe of our unrighteousness. He wore that as he was killed at Calvary. But we wear his robe. We stand in his righteousness. I stand in Christ alone. That is salvation. Christ in me the hope of glory. He was sitting, he was clothed, and he was in his right mind. He didn't merely have an external religion now, but he was in his right mind. Before, he wasn't thinking correctly. The man could not think correctly because he was depraved and he was under the power and spell of Satan. Friend, our minds are not right if we're not saved. We're thinking of ourselves. We're thinking that partial obedience to God's law will be acceptable to him at that day. Yet partial obedience is disobedience, because the Bible says, "Cursed is the man that keepeth not, that walketh not perfectly in the laws of God." Galatians tells us that the man is cursed who does not perfectly keep God's law. Christ is the only one that perfectly kept it, and he did it vicariously, substitutionarily. In Christ, by having his righteousness, we have kept the law before God, and we can be in our right minds, thinking now that life is not just the end, that life is a preparation for eternity. Life is to please God and to prepare to meet God. God puts his people into right minds. He gives them right thinking. The Bible says that wrong thinking can damn you. The Scripture teaches there's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. This change in the man scared people. But the saddest words, I think, are found, as well as the gladdest in this passage, when many came away from their towns to see what happened, they said for Jesus to depart out of their coasts. And he did. He didn't beg them to stay. You know, there's a time when the Spirit no longer strives with man. Perhaps he's been speaking to you week after week, and you said, "Not today, not today." There may be a day you'll not feel that nudge anymore or that urge. Come while you may. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. The Lord will employ you in his kingdom. He told the man to go home and tell his friends how great things God had done. And the man believed Jesus was God because he said, it says he went home and told them what Jesus did for him. Jesus is God. What an employment we have as Christians. People have said, "Get a job when I'm preaching at the stadium. I have the greatest job in the world, the greatest employment, that I'm mobilized to go and tell people how they can be saved, greater than a physician who has a cure for cancer or AIDS. For the Lord has given us the cure for the sin-sick soul that will damn them forever, that they can be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ." May you today experience that blessed hope of eternal life found only in the Lord Jesus Christ.